swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be.
Yes? Good morning, Mr. Fletcher. Mr. Cushing won't be in today. He had to leave quite suddenly. I'm sure he'll be back tomorrow, Mr. Fletcher. I'll tell him. That man, he thinks he owns us all. Oh, good morning.
Oh, good morning, Gloria.
Why, Mr. Wolfe.
You recognize me.
Of course I do. But you've grown a mustache and your hair's longer.
Well, times change, my dear. We must change with them. I'm a little early, Gloria, but I have a busy day. Is Tony free?
He isn't here.
I have an appointment with him.
Today?
Yes, today, at this moment.
That's funny. It isn't in my book.
Gloria, he called my answering service day before yesterday and said he wanted to see me. I told him to set up an appointment at this time. And I'm rather busy these days.
He must have forgotten to tell me.
That makes me rather unimportant, doesn't it?
No, it isn't that at all, Mr. Wolfe. He's had an awful lot on his mind.
Well, I'm sure he has, and so have I. When will he be back?
Not before tomorrow.
Well, tomorrow I'm busy. Is this a personal trip?
I don't ask Mr. Cushing that.
You know everything Tony does and every place he goes.
If I do, I keep it confidential.
Gloria, I think you're worth three times what Tony pays you.
Thank you, Mr. Wolfe. I'm quite happy with my job. Mr. Cushing's a marvelous man to work for.
Yes, I'm sure he is. Well, now that I've ruined the morning, I...
Mr. Cushing will be very sorry, I know. I'll make sure it doesn't happen again.
Yeah. Now that Tony's wasted my time, do you have a cup of coffee available, maybe?
Yes, Mr. Wolfe, of course. I'll get it right away. What are you doing?
Hmm? Oh, you do keep a neat desk, don't you?
I try.
I happen to see this airline schedule on it. Bangor, Maine is checked. Is that where Tony went? To Maine?
Really,
Maine.
Mr. Wolfe?
Of course. How obvious. I should have known. Did he leave a telephone number with you?
I'm not at liberty to give it out.
You don't have to. I'll write it down for you right here on your calendar pad. Well, is that it?
How did you know?
A simple deduction. There's a lady in Maine right now I'm interested in. I keep close track of her. And so apparently does Tony. But for a different reason.
Yes, Mr. Wolfe.
I don't think I'll bother with that coffee after all. And tell Tony I don't know when I can see him again. I'm a busy man.
Yes, Mr. Wolfe.
Gloria, the reason you're going to work for me someday is that you're a clever girl. I appreciate cleverness, and I'll pay for it.
Trudy, I'm so glad you came with me. Well, this is my beloved Gull Island.
It's, nice, Kate.
Oh, this is the way I remember it, too. And the sun with the gulls flying and the ocean green and silvery as far as you can see.
Sort of cold, isn't it?
No, it's mild for this time of year. Oh, and there's the cottage over there.
Hey, well, where's Joey?
Down at the dock with his boat. Oh, come on.
Kate, I can't imagine how you stood it here yesterday in that storm.
Well, I wasn't afraid of the storm. Tom and I used to love to stand out on the cliff together and watch the storms come rolling in.
But to walk into the cottage and find a strange guy here.
Well, he was strange. But now that's over, I just... Well, I feel badly about him.
Oh, he sure must have scared you.
Well, I don't think he realized how frightened I was. He kept asking me if I was afraid. I kept saying no. I don't think he wanted to frighten me.
How come he got away with living here for nearly 2 years?
He gave Ben a little money to help him with the supplies and made him promise not to tell.
Oh.
been so ashamed of it now. I don't know why. I'd have been happy to have Michael here. He was a friend of Tom's.
Well, he's gone now.
Oh, yes, he tried to make it up with that note he left me. I do feel sorry for him. Well, this is the cottage, Trudy.
Hey, that's really nice.
Oh. Tom and I loved it.
Can you leave it unlocked?
Oh, I did last night in case Michael came back. Come on in.
Oh, isn't this something?
Well, it's very simple. We didn't want much furniture.
And look at that stone fireplace. Hey, you could roast an ox.
Oh, Tom could build a wonderful fire and just warm the whole house. Our bedroom is over there. Tom and I would lie in bed and just listen to the surf.
Those windows?
Oh, that's the bayside.
Oh.
I was standing at that window when I saw Tom's boat drifting. Empty. Well, I didn't come up here to think about that.
Sure you did, honey. You think about it all. Don't keep it back. Well, it sure doesn't look like anybody was around here.
Nope. Everything's gone. Let's go upstairs.
All right. Hey, more bedrooms?
Two rooms. Tom used one for a study.
Oh, and that other was a guest room?
Oh, no, we never had guests.
You didn't?
No, Tom just didn't like outsiders around. He kept, anything in here. Fishing tackle, extra sails, nets. You see what I mean, junk. I should clear it all out someday. Here's Tom's study.
Oh, what an odd room.
Yeah, he fixed it up like a captain's quarters. Compass, binoculars, old sailing charts, captain's chart table, and berth.
Oh, well, I thought you said that...
No, he liked that berth bed. He slept there most of the time. There's his pride, his old sea chest.
Oh, the brass strapping is polished.
So it is. You know, Michael must have done that.
Hey, what's in it?
Well, Michael said last night he kept cans of food in it, but his note said there were other things.
Well, open it. Hey, it's empty.
Well, here's the note. I brought it with me. The things that I thought were mine belong to you. They are in the chest.
Was he kidding? Oh, that's pretty mean. You mean that's why you came all the way back today?
No, he meant it, I'm sure. There's something I'm missing in all of this.
Well, there's the chest. Empty.
I know Michael didn't write that note as a joke. He meant it.
Maybe he changed his mind and took everything with him.
No, he was unstable, but there were moments. Trudy, he knew Tom. He worked with him in the Caribbean. He knew what Tom did there. Oh, but there's nothing in this chest. It's empty.
Hey, Kate, do that again. Yeah, I don't know the sea, but I know wood. That's hollow.
I think it is.
Hey, you see that extra piece along the side and that small peg? Now, if you take that out and lift, the whole bottom comes out. False bottom. See?
Trudy, you are a genius.
Well, I come from a long line of wood carvers.
Look. Tom's sailing charts from the Caribbean.
Wow.
Stained and spattered. Yeah, I remember that.
Hey, you've dropped an envelope. Here.
To Stephen Wolf. Trudy, this is it. This is what Stephen's after, a letter from Tom.
Hold it, Kate. I hear something.
The boat is coming in.
Oh, it sure is. Hey, come over here to the window.
It's docking. There's Tony. Trudy, I won't see him. Please, will you go?
Give me those charts.
I can't see him.
You gave it away, Kate. I saw it in your face. Now, you get out of this moldy place. You've had enough of the past. He's there on the dock, Kate. Go to him. And stop kidding yourself.
Hi, I'm Sandy Wright. In 1966, I was in a Miss Clairol commercial. Then it was, does she or doesn't she? Today, she still does. I love my hair. After 9 years, yes, 9 years of using Miss Clairol cream formula, it's in great condition. Terrific body, easy to manage, and if I have any gray, who knows?
Miss Clairol Cream Formula. It's the hair color professionals use. The best it can be, at any price. Look for Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Used as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm gonna get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
Faces of Love features Morgan Fairchild as Kate Wakefield and Joan Shea as Trudy. Also appearing were Mildred Clinton, Adam Redfield, Nat Polin, Herb Duncan, and Bernie Grant. Produced and directed by Ernie Ricca. Associate producer Dale Stewart. Written by Margaret LaWorth. And brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant possible. This is Mel Brandt. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
The Author's Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way.
William Makepeace Thackeray, author of Vanity Fair, at your service, ladies and gentlemen. And how I do toil at this desk in your service to find the right word, the right phrase to convey my meaning. And Mr. Charles Dickens professes never to be in doubt as to what word he will set down next. Tush. His man told my man that Charles wears the carpet threadbare when a novel is in the making. But, now, where were we in this one? Yes. This is Becky Sharp and Captain Dobbin in Dobbin's carriage together, leaving Amelia Sedley's house in Russell Square.
You're very kind to set me down in Park Lane, Captain.
Pleasure, I'm sure, Miss Becky.
Oh, I did hate to leave Emmy alone. I wish he could have come with us.
I as well. You saw, did you, how those pretty eyes filled with tears when she knew George wouldn't be coming round?
They're filled with tears a good deal too often, thanks to that same George Osborne.
He will come round, and I don't mean just to Russell Square. Osborne's the kind of fellow likes to be agreed with. But I'll not agree with his swinish treatment of that dear girl.
If he likes to be agreed with, he should be the happiest of men. Emmy agrees with every word he utters. If one of them happens to be a tuppenny halfpenny kind word to her, it's minted into gold in her poor, grateful heart.
Don't think highly of George, do you, Miss Becky?
Oh, he is your best friend. I won't speak against him other than his treatment of Emmy. I do implore you again to change him, if you can.
Begin as soon as I reach the barracks. No. First want to learn if you're correct about keeping his engagement secret.
I wager... Are you a betting man, Captain?
You show me a man in His Majesty's service that ain't.
Then I wager half a crown you'll find no soldier in the barracks who knows George Osborne is engaged to Amelia Sedley.
Done. Can't believe he'd not be proud, swagger about and boast, engaged to someone like her.
I pray you are right. I fear you're wrong. I'll win half a crown.
I say, gambling may be one thing that keeps him from her. Always at it, he is. Cards, billiards, horses. Anything he can find to bet on, bets. Owes me and half the officers in the guard.
And, likes his glass as well.
Look here, Miss Becky. There's not wrong with all that for a bachelor chap. It's just... George has got to change his ways. Soon he'll be a married man.
Soon? I wonder.
Hmm. Yes, soon, if Dobbin has anything to say in the matter. Not a man to delay, Dobbin questions the first officer he meets, Lieutenant Spoonie, invites him across the way to the public house to have a pint.
Cheers, Spoonie.
Cheers, Captain.
I say, seen Osborne about today?
I went into the city.
Oh, did he say where?
Seeing a lady, he said. Didn't let on where.
I did hear there's a lady in the case. Heard George is engaged. Heard that too, have you?
Old George engaged? Now you've been out of the country, Dobbin. Several ladies in the case.
You don't say. Up to his old tricks, eh?
Regular Don Giovanni, by Jove. There's a judge's daughter in Sussex mad about him. A beautiful quadroon girl in Brighton.
You said a lady in London.
Well, there's talk of a duchess in love with him. And a general's daughter engaged to someone else, but madly after George. Another story going about that it's a member of Parliament's lady wanting to elope. And that's not half.
What's the other half?
Well, you don't only have a taste for high society. Opera singer of the worst reputation. A milliner. A flower girl in Piccadilly? Oh, he's a rare bird, George is.
Look here. How much of this is gossip? How much true?
Well, he don't throw the least light on any of it. Laughs, winks when we bully rag him. Says not a word. What's your opinion?
My opinion is you and the rest are stupid fools. It's all nonsense and scandal. Bandied about in the mess room. Now get the straight of it, Spoonie. George ain't going to run off with a duchess nor ruin a milliner. He's engaged to Miss Amelia Sedley, most charming girl that ever lived. Have you got that, Lieutenant? Miss Amelia Sedley.
The story of George's engagement was over the regiment in half an hour. Reached George's ears over dinner at Major O'Dowd's, for that's where he was instead of at Emmy's. Mrs. Major O'Dowd congratulated him over a glass of whiskey toddy. George blushed under his whiskers, cursed under his breath, and as soon as he could decently leave, went in a fury to quarrel with Dobbin for betraying his secret. And that we shall hear.
If I had a nickel for every minute I've spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, oh, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
Say, did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Ban Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest-lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays will give you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Ban Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Ban Roll-On. So economical, yet so effective.
Blast you, Dobbin. Who the deuce asked you to talk about my affairs? Why the devil is all the regiment to know I'm to be married? Why is that old tattling headed and Peggy O'Dowd to make free with my name over her damn supper table and advertise my engagement over 3 kingdoms? And what right have you to say I'm engaged or meddle in my business at all?
It seems to me...
Seems be hanged. I'm under obligations to you, but I won't be sermonized. So, leave off.
Just be so good as to answer a question. Are you or not engaged to Miss Emmy?
What the devil's that to you?
Are you ashamed of it?
I'll not answer your damned questions.
Good God. You don't mean you want to break it off.
Now you ask if I'm a man of honor. I am, sir. No, I don't want to break it off.
Then all I'm saying is stop neglecting a sweet, good girl. When you go to town, go to her, not to the gambling houses of flower girls in Piccadilly.
Gad, you know about Ermentrude.
If that's her silly name, yes.
Oh, hang it, Dov, you're right. I know you're right, but don't deal hardly with me. I adore Emmy, that sort of thing, but damn it, where's the fun winning a thing unless you play for it? Emmy, don't give me a run for my money.
Cad, don't appreciate what you've got.
I do. She's faultless, I know she is, but I must have a last fling. When I'm married, I'll reform. Will. Upon my honor.
Well, until then, are you to let Miss Emmy sit alone and weep her heart out?
Don't catechize me, Dobbin. Promise I'll do better right now. Tomorrow, go and see her. That satisfy you?
Nah, how can I stay angry with you, George? Know what you're like, known since we were boys. I only wish you'd sown those oats before you stole Miss Emmy's heart away. She deserves better.
Blessed if I don't think Emmy's done the same with your heart.
If she has, that's no danger to you. You know that, don't you? Even if she'd have me, which she never would, not after you. Oh, I wish you'd seen her poor little face today when she asked about you.
Went there, did you?
Oh, don't make sport. You said you'd be there. I say, if you'd seen her face, you'd pitch those billiard balls and opera singers and milliners into the Thames. Go and comfort her tomorrow, you rascal. Do something to make her happy. A very little will.
Make her happy. Yes, will.
I have your word.
Word of honor. Oh, glad you ragged me about this, Dob. Didn't realize. Been a cad. Yes, I have. Make her happy, you said. Ought to take her a little present.
Right, very good.
Something to make her smile. Something to... Oh, pity. Afraid quite out of cash till my father tips up.
Oh, look here. I can let you have a few pounds.
Wouldn't think of it, old chap. Already owe you 100. Still, on the other hand, for Emmy's sake. Thank you, old boy. Always know I can depend on old Dobbin.
Oh, what an unsavory chap, that one. But what's to be done? Emmy loves him. Ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow I am again your servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
Mystery meet again. The food hasn't changed since the last time I was in college, but I have. 12 years later, 12 gray hairs. The only gray hairs in the entire class. So, I tried Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, just covers up gray without changing your natural color. Loving Care made my hair softer and shinier, and two boys wanted my number.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm gonna get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
The Author's Studio has been brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the little things in life. Brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant relief possible.
Anybody seen my car keys? I've also lost one of my good driving gloves. I had them when I came home last night.
Don't leave without taking this check for the insurance due today. With all the Christmas shopping, I'm so far behind paying bills.
I can't go without my car keys. Let me see that insurance bill.
Oh, darn it. Typewriter. Ribbon sticks all the time. It's out of alignment. Two of the keys barely work at all. I need a new one. I've had this thing since college, and it wasn't new then, and I got it secondhand.
Have we got enough in the checking account to cover this?
Oh, yes, sure, sure. Oh, Aunt Maggie, I didn't see you standing there.
Is this somebody's glove?
Oh, yeah. Where was it?
On the counter in the kitchen.
And here, dear, give this envelope to Miss Perkins when you get to the office.
What's in it?
Well, recipes for Aunt Maggie's Christmas cookies that Miss Perkins asked for. And don't forget you're dropping Debbie off at Schooner. I'll go upstairs and get her. She has her radio on as usual. Debbie!
Have you bought Peg something for Christmas yet?
What? No. I don't know what to get her.
Well, it's just a suggestion, of course, but she's certainly been complaining about her old typewriter. Two or three times I've heard her saying, I certainly wish I had a new one.
Where's my other glove, the one I had? Oh, here it is.
It's just a suggestion, the typewriter.
Yeah.
Well, you better get down here. Deb, you'll be right down, dear. Don't forget I'm meeting you to look at that suit you saw in the men's store. Now, what time?
I don't know what my appointments are. Call the office, ask Miss Perkins. Mm-hmm. Probably sometime around lunchtime would be best for me.
Mother, you going
in
town
right
today?
Yes.
Well, don't forget to get typing paper for me and some new carbon, too. I just have to get my history paper done tonight.
Typing paper and carbon. All right, I'll add that to my shopping list. Come on, Aunt Maggie, let's get the breakfast dishes done. And you two better get going. You know it's late.
Boy, I'll say it is. Come on, Debbie, get your coat on.
Gee, we should get Mother a new portable typewriter for Christmas. The old one she has is just awful, and I could use it, too. I'm ashamed to hand in my papers.
All right, come on. I'll go get the car out. Now step on it.
Mr. Baxter?
Yes, Miss Perkins?
Mrs. Baxter called, and I told her to meet you at the clothing store at 12:15. Was that right?
Right.
Well, it's almost that now. I thought I'd better remind you.
Oh, fine. Okay.
And when you see Mrs. Baxter, will you thank her for typing up all the recipes for your Aunt Maggie's Christmas cookies?
What? Oh, sure. Yeah, I can't find the Reynolds contract.
I hope you don't mind my making a suggestion, but I just thought of a wonderful idea. Something for Mrs. Baxter for Christmas.
Yeah, well, I don't see that contract here.
Right, there it is. Well, what I was saying, Mrs. Baxter typed up the recipes, and she wrote me a little note apologizing for the typing, saying she just had a beaten-up old typewriter, and it certainly must be, from the looks of the type. And I just suddenly thought, there's an idea for Mr. Baxter.
Yeah, well, look, Miss Perkins, Mrs. Baxter doesn't use a typewriter that much. Now, get three copies of this contract and send one off to Reynolds this afternoon and cancel my appointment with Craig.
Yes, Mr. Baxter. It's 12:15. Mrs. Baxter must be at the clothing store by now.
Hi, honey. You've been waiting long?
No. I was a little early. I've just been chatting with Mr.
Marley.
And I agree with you, dear. I love that suit in the window, and I've already asked Mr. Marley if he had the suit in a 44 long, and he does, and here it is. We're all ready for you.
The material is 50% Dacron, 50% wool. You want to slip off your top coat, Mr. Baxter, and your suit coat, and just slip this on?
Well, actually, Mr. Quimby always waits on me.
Mr. Quimby just left for lunch. He won't be back for an hour.
Oh, it doesn't matter, dear. Take off your top coat, and then you can try it.
Mr. Quimby always waits on me.
Mr. Marley is right here. Just try the suit coat on.
No, I quite understand. We all have our special customers.
Yeah, we can drop in later, dear, when Mr. Quimby is back from lunch, huh?
Darling, I've got Christmas shopping to do. I'm not dropping in later when I've gone out of my way to drop in right now. Now, try the suit coat on. We're here. Try the coat on.
Mr. Quimby knows my measurements. He knows just what I like.
Bob, the merchandise is the same.
Now, look, would you excuse me just a minute? I want to check on a shipment of cashmere.
Yes, of course. You've hurt his feelings not wanting him.
Oh, come on. I haven't hurt his feelings, for Pete's sake.
How would you like it if you worked in the store and a person as much as said, I don't want you, I want somebody else?
It's just that I've had Mr. Quimby wait on me for years.
Oh, you men are such creatures of habit. You want the same dentist, the same barber, the same sales clerk.
I don't like having somebody else when Mr. Quimby always insists on waiting on me personally.
I know, Mr. Quimby. He fawns all over you. He butters you up one side and down the other, and you just
Excuse
love
me,
it.
Excuse me, Mr. Baxter. I just phoned the Green Dragon where Mr. Quimby lunches. I left word you were here, and I'm sure he'll be right over if you don't mind waiting just a few minutes.
Thank you. No. We don't mind waiting at all. There, you see there?
If I were Mr. Quimby, I'd be furious dragging him away from his lunch.
He won't mind at all. He'll be delighted to see me.
Well, could you just try the coat on while we're waiting? Try it on.
Mrs. Baxter, I didn't mind missing my lunch at all. Mr. Baxter is my favorite customer. Yes, indeed. Now, have we decided on the soup, Mr. Baxter?
Well, Mr. Quimby, I didn't plan to buy anything today. I just thought I'd try a few things on and go home and think about it.
Of course, of course. But don't take too long to think about this suit. It's the only 44 long we have left. Feel that material. Why, you could roll that coat up and sit on it, never see a wrinkle. Now, let me show you something else that just came in yesterday. As a matter of fact, I thought of you at once. I said, I'm putting that aside for Mr. Baxter. Now, just a minute. Let me find it, because this new jacket is you.
Oh, well, that's fine. What's the matter with you?
I was just wondering what the occasion was when you might roll up your coat and sit on it.
That's just an expression.
Oh, here we are, here we are. Irish tweed, the latest thing. Casual, comfortable. Let's just slip it on, shall we?
Irish tweed, huh? Mm-hmm.
Look at that. Look at that. Perfect fit. I tell you, it is a pleasure. A pleasure indeed to wait on Mr. Baxter. No matter what he puts on, he looks like a fashion model.
Well, hardly.
Oh, perfect fit. Perfect fit.
The sleeves are too short and it bunches in the back.
Well, minor details. Our alteration man can take care of that.
That's a good-looking jacket. Irish tweed, huh? I like it.
I don't know which one I like better on you, that or the navy blue cashmere. I think you're going to have to take them both.
Oh, golly, I don't know. I like everything. What do you think, honey? You haven't said much.
I think you should get them all.
Get them all?
Yes, I do. You need them. Both of your other jackets are fraying at the cuffs, and that brown suit you went to Washington in... Well, I didn't say anything, but, dear, it has seen better days. Now, you know, you need to look nice. We'll cut down on something else. Oh, and while he's here, Mr. Quimby, you also need some new socks, some new shorts, and some warmer pajamas,
too. Well, we will certainly see that he gets them.
I love that Irish tweed jacket, dear. I think it has a fleck of red. Go up the front of the store and look at it in the daylight now and see if you really like it.
Well, okay. Certainly feels comfortable.
That's nice.
I must say, Mrs. Baxter, I'm glad you came with him today. Mr. Baxter is rather conservative and thrifty, and he has needed new clothes.
Yeah.
And as you pointed out, it is important that he look his best.
Yes, it certainly is. Actually, I was rather hoping Santa Claus would bring me a new typewriter, but now with costs what they are, one has to decide what is more important. And his appearance is.
Hey, I like it.
Being in business.
It's a really great jacket.
Yeah, I'm going to have to run on. I have Christmas shopping to do. I still have nothing for your mother, and mustn't forget typing paper and carbon paper for Debbie to type her history paper, too. Now, is everything settled?
Yeah, I just
think it would be.
I see you tonight, honey.
Yes, goodbye, Mr. Quimby.
Goodbye.
Thank you. See you tonight, dear.
Lovely woman, lovely.
Yeah, she's all right.
I'll get the tailor since we need some alterations. Say, have you bought Mrs. Baxter's Christmas present? If not, I do have a suggestion.
You do?
Yes. She just happened to mention she'd like a new typewriter, that she hoped Santa Claus would bring her one, but that your clothes problem was more important.
Oh?
No. She wasn't dropping hints. She just mentioned it, and I just picked it up. I thought I'd pass it on to you.
My wife's pretty cute.
Oh, Mrs. Baxter is intelligent, understanding, unselfish. You're a very lucky man.
Oh, I am that. And I have finally gotten the message.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
Hi, I'm trimming my little girl's hair. Mine was the same beautiful chestnut color once, before the grays started sneaking in. But I discovered Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It covered my grays without changing my natural color, and it has no peroxide. Loving Care made my hair shinier and softer, too. Our hair looks almost alike now, except mine has no bubble gum in it.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
The Little Things in Life, created by Peg Lynch, has been brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold. To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Final Net, the non-aerosol hair mist that holds up longer than you do.
Robert, I really think you should have accepted their request to serve on the House Committee.
Oh, you do?
Yes. I'm sure you wouldn't have approved those dreary blue draperies. They really depress the dining room.
Now, Caroline, those draperies have been here since before I joined the club.
This place really needs a woman's touch.
Oh, no. Now, why do you suppose it was established in the first place?
I see. Oh, have you heard from Jason today?
Yes, we talked on the phone this morning.
And how is Jennifer?
Well, she's improving, but they're still not sure if she suffers from brain damage.
I'd planned to see her this afternoon.
Maybe you should check with Jason first. Hmm?
All right. Poor Emily. It certainly has been an ordeal. Do you know the doctor who was responsible for saving Jennifer?
Yes, Joseph Gonzalez, Jason said. Of course, Jason was there, too.
Yes, but didn't you say the other doctor knew just what to do since this was such an unusual case?
Mm-hmm, that's right. Jason said that Jennifer's being under the water for such a long time would ordinarily have drowned her.
Oh, that poor darling. And that cold. It was freezing up in the woods, you said.
Jason explained to me there were several lucky factors involved in saving Jan.
Seems to me they combined to make a miracle.
In a way, yes, because it was so cold and because Jan was so small. Her body cooled very rapidly and reduced the need for oxygen. Dr. Gonzalez had read of a similar case in an English medical journal, and he followed that procedure.
Well, but I'll have a very good reason to celebrate Christmas this year.
Mm-hmm. Indeed, yes, darling. Well, have you finished our Christmas shopping yet?
No, not quite. What would you like to give Lynn and Kurt?
I would like to give them a quick divorce.
Robert!
Did you see Kurt this morning?
No, I didn't. I was out in the greenhouse. I'd like to have some nice blooms ready for the holiday season.
He stormed into the dining room in a foul mood. That charm of his has worn very thin. Right through to the brass.
Kurt, what's the matter?
I didn't sleep very well last night.
I noticed that. You were very restless.
Well, I'll be all right in a few days.
Something is wrong, then.
Don't nag at me, Lynn.
I'm not nagging. I'm worried about
well,
you.
Well, don't. Oh, by the way, Madame Scott, the Swiss representative, has gone back to Zurich, so she won't be able to have dinner with us this evening.
Oh? Well, that was sudden, wasn't it?
Yes.
Didn't she give you any notice at all?
No, none.
Well, was everything all right?
And what do you mean?
The business you're going to be setting up, the ski clothes and things.
I don't know. We'll see.
You mean you don't have a signed agreement with her?
No, I don't.
Oh, Kurt, don't do this to us.
Can't you see? I'm worried and I'm in no mood to answer questions.
But it concerns both of us.
I just don't want to discuss it.
Does it mean we won't be able to start looking for an apartment?
What is wrong with this place for a little longer?
Nothing at all. It's a very charming guest house, but it's not a home.
You just don't know how lucky you are.
What do you mean?
You don't have to worry about anything. Your father pays the bills here.
Oh, Kurt, what are we fighting about?
I don't know, Lynn. It's just that I'm afraid, I guess.
Afraid? You? Oh, darling.
I'm afraid I won't be the kind of a husband you deserve.
Oh, don't you worry, darling. Let me be the judge of that.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On antiperspirant. Proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
Do you mind having some company?
No, not if you don't mind watching me finish this painting while the light still holds.
Oh, it's lovely, Anne.
It's my mother, her Christmas present.
What made you decide on that?
Mother's always wanted a painting of River Run to hang in the library.
You both love this place, don't you?
Yes, we do. Don't you?
Oh, yes, Anne, but it's different for you. You were brought up here.
Well, you've been here for the last 10 years.
Yes, sort of off and on.
What's the matter, Lynn?
Oh, I don't know. I guess I have the pre-Christmas blues.
I know what you mean. I used to get that way when I lived in town. Doesn't seem so bad out here, though, without the crowds.
Do you think I should follow through on the hospital newsletter I discussed with Jason?
Well, of course you should, if you want to.
I thought I was going to be busy getting settled in our own place, so I'd kind of put it off.
You mean you aren't going to find your own place?
Not until Kurt gets his agency established.
Well, Kurt doesn't mind if you work, does he?
Oh, no, he likes the idea.
So go ahead with it.
I guess I will. After the holidays.
Well, you'd better have a little more enthusiasm if you expect to get it off the ground.
Yeah, you're right.
How is Kurt?
Oh, he's fine.
You're still sure he's the right man for you?
Of course I am. What a thing to say.
Look, Lynn, he was gloomy at breakfast, and now you've got it.
Well, what's wrong with that? People have a right to their moods.
True. But you and Kurt have been the picture of wedded bliss, and suddenly...
We don't know what you're talking about.
All right. But I remember your saying Kurt was always so happy and cheerful.
Well, he is. Usually.
Why do you let him depress you?
I didn't say that.
You don't have to. Look, if you're going to be so dependent on him for everything, you're going to make it very tough for both of you.
Skiing is just about the most exciting sport there is.
It looks it, Kurt. No, it reminds me of birds in flight.
Oh, it's very close to just that.
You must miss it.
Oh, I do. Particularly now that it's getting up to snow time. Can I freshen your drink, Anne?
About a half. It's almost dinner time.
Would you like to learn?
Where can you ski around here?
Well, there are several places north of here, and of course there's Aspen.
Oh, that's a long way to go for a sport.
Well, hello, Anne, darling. Kurt?
Oh, I didn't hear you come in, Robert.
Hello, Robert.
Where's your mother?
She's upstairs.
Oh, well, fine.
And that reminds me, I promised to look at some things she bought today before she wraps them.
Where's Lynn?
She's at the cottage, getting dressed for dinner, I guess.
Oh. Everything all right?
Oh, yes. Yes, of course.
Well, how are things coming along?
Things?
That agency you're setting up, what is it, ski clothes and such?
It's taking longer than I thought.
Oh, I see.
Yes, I may be in a bit of a financial bind soon.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
And my broker tells me that some of the stocks I've held are in bad shape.
You've been speculating?
Well, when I got married, I figured I'd better shift some of my capital into something that could make some money for me.
And the market, not believing in young love, took a turn for the worse.
You could say that. So if it's all right with you, we'd like to count on staying here a little while longer, just until...
Well, of course, you and Lynn are welcome to stay as long as you want. Stay as long as you need to.
Julie, I haven't tapped in for years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Shuffle, kick.
5 minutes, Claus.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting.
Oh. Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with Final Net. Final Net is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Final Net holds up longer than you do.
As anyone knows, hair is only as beautiful as the condition it's in. Natural Wear Miss Clairol shampoo formula conditions while it colors, makes your hair healthy looking and manageable while it adds natural glowing color that covers gray. And it's so easy to use. Just shampoo it in for fresh, young color that stays color true week after week. For conditioning hair color, the best it can be, at any price, Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be.
To Have and to Hold has been brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol. To know you're the best you can be. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.